following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you on today's program. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter on this Wednesday. As we get ready for college football season, you've been waiting for, and it's still, yes, a couple of months away. But from the 2 months away, let's pan this out just a little bit. We have 14 shows before we go to Big Ten Media Days Friday. And we'll start with the voice of the Illini, Brian Barnhart, is going to join us. Illinois is the first team that Nebraska plays this year in Big Ten Conference play. So we'll start with Illinois. 14 shows until we get to Chicago for Big Ten Media Days. When we come back from Big Ten Media Days, Nebraska begins fall practice.
We're almost there.
So
at least it's time to start talking about it. You know, when they finally get to Labor Day weekend, now you're talking. Now you got something going on once you get to Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, but nobody can wait that long.
No, I know I can't. You know, there's no way I can wait that long.
888-455.
You know, it's been since January, since we've had really, like, meaningful games. That's a long time ago.
You mean early February?
Well, that's college. Super Bowl thing. That's Super Bowl. But we were talking college, so January for
wasn't
college.
It like January 17th or something?
No, that with the new format, you know, it's about the 10th, and then you're done. I mean, it just now things are. I like the 14 format, and still using a couple of bowl games in there as well. And then you play a week later, and I don't know. I like the new system.
888-455 ESPN 888-455-3776. If you'd like to join us on today's Doug and Daddy Show, you can always tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. You can email the Net Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, and we'd love to hear from you. Wimbledon going on. Andy Murray advances on over Vasek Pospisil. You know, he's Jack Sock, the Lincoln native Jack Sock. His double partner. They won the doubles at Wimbledon last year. Were eliminated earlier this week. But that first time on center court has to be pretty special.
Oh, yeah. Again, that is the mecca. You know, I mean, that's really kind of where you always dream of playing. If you're a wonderful cellist in the world, it's Carnegie Hall. If you're a tennis player, center court at Wimbledon, that is really the promised land right there.
So we'll see how things continue on in the quarterfinals today at Wimbledon. And teams will start arriving today for the Miss Basketball Showcase. The 20th annual tournament will run the 9th through the 11th at the UNK Health and Sports Center. The boys last week, the girls this week.
Yeah, it just continues to keep rolling along. And, yeah, there's always something going on. You know, it's a quieter time of year outside of football season, but there's something always going on. Women's Wimbledon, people are talking so much about the grunting that's been going on. We've only had this conversation for, 30, 35 years since Monica Stella showed up in the mid-'80s? I mean, come on. I mean,
it's not that bad anymore, is it?
Here's the thing. Don't blame the athletes. I don't think you blame the athletes at all. Blame the person running the audio booth for ESPN, because they have the microphone there. Pot it down. If it's distracting, pot it down. Easy solution. you know, except for the 1,000 people in the stadium or whatever. And I don't know. Is it really bothering them? It seems like a whole bunch of nothing to me.
Big day for the Royals yesterday. They did not play that well in game one and found a way to win. Even the radio and television announcers on the Royals Network kind of talking about that. Kansas City had opportunities to jump on a pitcher that was only making his second start of the year coming off injury. They had the bases loaded, nobody out in the first inning, and didn't score. And it just brings into question. I watched that game yesterday. The Royals win 9-5, bases loaded. You get a grand slam home run in the bottom of the ninth with a tie game. It's not as exciting because all you need is a sac fly. It's cool. It's cool, and it's not a name you've ever heard of, Paulo Orlando, because it's a doubleheader. They're playing different guys yesterday. You know, Gordon was one of the few that played both games a doubleheader, and there's a reason why he tied and broke a lot of Royals records for doubleheaders. Six hits yesterday, four RBIs, tied his career high in the second game, had a home run in the first game. But you watch that, and it was, and I'm not going to say going through the motions, but it was so by the book. You know that, okay, you sit down, you play blackjack. Mm. Okay, anymore, there's the table of, you know what, if you want to have fun, don't set with the serious guy. Because he's playing it by the book. He's not there to have fun, he's there to try to make money. There are, you hear this by the book stuff in a variety of sports. And I watched a by the book game yesterday in baseball. And it started right off in the first inning, you know. They had an easy chance, first and second, base hit back up the middle, easy chance for the guy from second to score yesterday, which I believe was Escobar, to score. But they hold him up because there's nobody out. Well, what happened? You didn't score.
Don't bring him in.
And it happened about three or four in totally different situations, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, yesterday, and I just sat there the whole time going, it's just one of those things where they didn't take advantage of so many things, and somehow they still won the ballgame. I mean, even Greg Holland blew a save, which he never does. A wild pitch in the top of the ninth tied the game. The bottom line is, then they get the momentum. They win the second game fairly easily, although it was 1-1 into the sixth inning, I believe it was.
Yeah, and they trailed early on in that game, too.
Well, they keep trailing.
Yeah.
There's a lot, even when they're winning, they're trailing a lot. And this has started to be something that's coming out of Kansas City with, again, radio, TV, paper guys, is that they're not getting out of the gate early, which eventually is going to bite you.
Yeah, it's going to jump up and bite you. But I will say this. You kind of mentioned the scenario where the base hit could have potentially brought in the run and they held them up. That, to me, if you're a desperate team, we may never hit the ball again. We better send him. You know, so I think that's the right problem to have in terms of maybe being a little bit more conservative with your base running, because you really do think that base hit's going to come. And over the last season and a half, this season and about halfway through last year, so I guess it's probably one full season here, that the Royals have really, their hitting percentage with runners in scoring position, especially late in the game, has been inordinately high, you know, much higher than everybody else in Major League Baseball. And so they are that team that is kind of becoming somewhat clutch. But again, if you rely on that too much, as you say, it kind of jumps up to bite you. They have to get out of the gate a little bit quicker. I don't know what kind of tonic you rub on them to make that happen, but it is something that they're going to have to address. But come on, here we are as Royals fans sitting here, you know, and they got the best record in the American League, and we're going to say, well, I don't know.
How cool is that?
Doing everything.
It's been 20-some years.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a couple of years in there, but I mean, where you can talk about the Royals in this manner. So that was the second point of this whole situation. But you brought up an interesting, you know, if you're having trouble scoring runs. Well, outside of the fifth inning against Houston, in the third game of that series, here's what they've scored. Okay, against Minnesota, 3-3-3 in 10 innings, 0. The five-run inning against Houston, 0-1. Okay, so they had been having trouble scoring runs.
Right, yeah, and I get that, but how many runs have they given up? I mean, yeah, they got swept by the Twins there, but then they turn around and...
No, by the Astros.
By the Astros, and then they go out and then sweep the Twins. I misspoke. I did it the wrong way. You know, so, I mean, you still understand that you don't need to score a ton of runs with that pitching staff that the Royals have.
Here's the big story.
And that defense. Let's give the defense credit as well.
Totally personal on this one. I hope Alex Gordon has his day off today. Because he played both games yesterday. He's getting a day off. Will it be today or will it be the afternoon game tomorrow in which I'm attending, which may or may not be rained out?
So I understand what you're rooting for there, because he is a joy to watch. We went and watched him play a couple of games last year, and first out of the game. I mean, the Royals gave up one or two runs against the Nationals, and first out of the game was he threw a guy out trying to go from first to third on a base hit, and then you don't do that against Alex. And so he guns him out, and it kind of started some momentum. He hit a home run later on. So he's just, especially as a Husker fan, he's a lot of fun to watch.
Coming up, we're going to talk with Nebraska Danger coach Mike Davis in our next segment. They've got a going away celebration tomorrow night in Grand Island. Then it's off to Sioux Falls for the United Bowl, a unique 5:05 Saturday afternoon kickoff time. So if you're, I know some fans will be going up there. Some will want to be paying attention to how they're doing. So we'll talk with the coach about that. Also, Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star is going to jump in. We'll talk to Sip and have Sean and our Husker Roundtable on, well, 3 weeks from today before we head off to media days in Chicago. But haven't had Sip on for a while. He's off vacation, so we'll have him on and just
a bit well-rested.
Get a thought or two about what's going on in the mind of Stephen Sipple. Well, I also got American Legion Baseball to look at, and more awards. Preseason watch lists are out in college football. So all of that and a whole lot more coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Buzz's Marine is getting away from it all and bringing our showroom to you. Join Buzz's July 11th and 12th at Frontier Resort on Lake Maloney and July 25th at Lakeshore Marina on Johnson Lake for our on-the-water boat shows. Bring the family, check out our inventory, and cruise the water before you buy. Get low financing on our full line of boats powered by Yamaha Outboards. Go to buzzesmarine.com for details. Let Yamaha Outboards power hours of fun July 11th and 12th and July 25th. Create family memories to last a lifetime with Buzz's Marine. We'll see you on the water.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, it'll be partly sunny with a high near 74. Winds will be from the south at around 5 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low near 58. Winds will be from the northeast at around 5 miles an hour. And Thursday, chance of storms. Currently, it's 64.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Don't forget, get signed up for Mike Trader's Mid-America Basketball Camp at Hastings College next Monday through Thursday. These day camp sessions are for both boys and girls age 7 through 18, with not only former Hastings College and high school coach Mike Trader, but current Hastings College coach Bill Gavers, known coach Jim Weeks, many other coaches from around the state of Nebraska will be on hand. So register online at TradersCamp.com, TradersCamp.com, and you can work on your jumping, endurance, ball handling, agility, shooting, which we talked with Coach Trader about earlier in this
Lost
week.
Art.
Working on that and how to hone it up a little bit, dribbling and passing skills. Apparently, stay away from your iPhone 6. It'll help you shoot the ball better. Take your game to the next level by attending the 29th annual Mike Trader Mid-America Basketball Camp next Monday through Thursday. Go to TradersCamp.com for more information. Well, we are just 3 days away from the United Bowl up in Sioux Falls. And as we told you, we would chat with Coach Davis after they won the conference championship, went into the 4th of July, which was a bye week. And now a little bit more, a scouting report on Sioux Falls. And the head coach of the Danger joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter. And Mike, good morning. How are things going, progressing?
Things are good.
You have done this 3 straight years now. Is there any difference of preparation? Are there things that you find out each year you need to do a little differently, or you're just doing differently because it didn't work the first couple of times?
I think a little bit of both. Obviously, with the week off for the fourth, you know, having another 3 or 4 days of practice and preparation is always helpful. But more importantly, it gave us a chance to get healthy. I mean, the last 2 years we won the championship game, we weren't really healthy and just didn't play well. So, you know, this year, hopefully we'll play well like we did in Tri-Cities, and we're healthy. So that's a huge bonus.
Well, obviously, Mike, we're all hoping that third time is the charm. Are there some specific things that you kind of look at? I mean, you know this team, you know this situation, you know this. When you look into the eyes of your players in preparation, do you get the sense that things are different this time around?
I do. You know, I think the focus is a lot better. From everybody, you know, it's obviously our veterans are kind of leading the show, and that, you know, a lot of those guys came back strictly to try to win a ring, and you know, we have an opportunity to do that. So, you know, let's just go ahead and finish the journey, so to speak.
How many guys, Mike, because of the changes and such, but how many of the guys that'll be making the trip and playing Saturday have played in the first two?
Six, I believe.
And they're all over the football here for you. So in a nice, again, a good article, Bob Hamer in the Independent today, we talk about Pig and Jameel so much, but they're not the only two that have been around the whole time.
No. Yeah, Adrian Davis has been around. Rondé Sands has been here for two of the three. Darius Savage has been here for all three. You know, Jamar Love's been here for all three. You know, he hurt his knee his first year, so he didn't play in the championship game, but you know, besides that, we have a good depth of experience, and it just comes down to making plays. I don't care if you're a rookie or a four-year vet. You got to make plays, and if you do that, everything will take care of itself.
Coach, help us out a little bit with the scouting report. What does Sioux Falls do so well that they've been so dominant over the last 3-4 years?
You know, they just don't make mistakes. You know, they have a ton of veterans that they've been there, they've done that, you know, it's that cliche, but it's they don't make mistakes. And when they do, you have to capitalize on them. And in the past, we've gotten them to make a couple mistakes, but we just never capitalize on them.
At what point, because the first year it came down to a field goal, and we're talking with Mike Davis, head coach of the Nebraska Danger, when you take on a team that this year is undefeated and you see them not making mistakes, at what point do you have to make sure that you don't force the issue, or do you want to force the issue?
You know, I think we always want to force the issue. That's just our style of play. You know, we were playing them up there early in the year. We dropped 4 touchdowns and blew 2 coverages and lost by, I think, 10 or 12 points. I don't even remember what the score was, but you know, when it comes down to it, we're prepared. We got to execute. If we execute, we'll be just fine.
We talked about it a little bit last week, what they do running, but you guys run the ball better, or at least the league stats point that out. You've got the league MVP and Jameel Sewell, so we know you can throw the football. Is there one thing, and Randy touched on, but is there one thing X and O, offense, defense, special teams, that they do better than everybody else?
Probably special teams. You know, all across the board, special teams wise, they cover well. They always return well. They have one of the best kickers in the league. You know, they make field goals when they have to, and that once you can continually put points on the board, it makes it tough.
This is the third straight time you've been up there for the finals. Talk a little bit about that environment, what it's like to play in Sioux Falls, and how do you try to make that work as much as you can, or minimize their home field advantage, minimize that as much as possible?
Well, you know, we got to get off to a hot start all offense. If we do that, we can slow the crowd down. You know, rumor has it there'll be about 11,000 people there in their new arena, and which is good. I mean, guys need to play on that type of stage, and you know, again, that little thing that say everybody says, you know, big time players make big time plays, and you know, guys just have to step up and make plays. No excuses. Like, if you mess up, that's your mistake, and you just got to on to the next play.
We're talking with Nebraska Danger football coach Mike Davis here on the Doug and Daddy Show. United Bowl against Sioux Falls on Saturday at 5:05. The Storm, our hockey team for the Tri-Cities, they ended up there at Sioux Falls where they had about 8,000 people on the ice up there. So you guys are carrying the torch here. Let's not get a trend started. Somebody needs to go up there and take care of Sioux Falls.
I hear you on that one.
Since we talked last time, and I'll save the MVP question and Wayman question, one more thing. You were talking about getting off to a fast start. Sioux Falls scored a season-low 34, it was, in their conference title game. You guys put up 83. What type of – you want it to be closer to 83, and how in the world did they get held to 34?
when they were playing Cedar Rapids, they didn't have to do anything. They ran four or five plays, and Cedar Rapids couldn't stop them. And everybody's like, oh, it was 34-12. They only scored 34 points. Well, they didn't have to throw the ball. They didn't, Cedar Rapids was never in contention. So they kind of just put it on cruise control after about the second quarter.
And again, you look at those scores, you kind of think to yourself, whoever sets, and maybe pace is the wrong word here, but they're playing keep away with the ball, as you kind of mentioned with their running game. Does it favor you with Jamil throwing the ball around? Does it favor you if you get one of those up-tempo style of games, or would you be completely content to play a game in the 30s and 40s?
You know, I think that our offense always says it's a race to 50. And then if we can do that, I like our chances. But again, if it's a fast-paced game or up-tempo game or a slow-paced game, you know, I still like our chances. You know, we can settle down and kind of grind it out with the best of them as well. We just it's not our MO. You know, we got guys that want to get vertically on the field, and when we do that, it makes it a whole lot easier for us.
Right after we spoke last week, the postseason awards came out, and Sioux Falls had 8 players named to the all-league team, and the Danger had 5 players named. But then when the specific awards came out, you had Jamil Sewell, the MVP of the league for the second time in 3 years. You had Wayman James, the offensive rookie of the year. And Sioux Falls didn't have anybody on any of those awards except for the coach of the year of a 15-0 team. I found that a little unusual. First, just your thoughts on that, and then secondly about, obviously, Jamil and Wayman receiving those awards.
Well, I think it just goes to show you that they're not a one-man band. You know, they can come out and they distribute the ball around, and they run the ball well, and they do whatever is necessary to get a W. And that's what makes them good. I mean, obviously, Coach Riggs getting Coach of the Year is well long overdue. I mean, he should have got it many years ago, but, you know, sometimes a couple of us coaches just aren't like that much, so. Which is fine. But Jamil winning the MVP just goes to show you he did that actually in this 4 games. So, you know, we're happy to have him and Wayman definitely both on our team offensively. So, you know, we just got to go out there and take care of business. If we take care of business, everything will fall into place.
Coach, you did mention Jamil missing the 4 games. He had some other players that you lost from suspensions, that sort of thing. The old cliche is what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Do you feel this team is mentally stronger than some of the teams that you've played before?
For sure. I do. You know, we've just been through a ton. You know, obviously being able to win with Jamil and without Jamil is a huge plus. And I mean, we've had guys, different starting lineups, almost every game this year.
And Breon is set as a backup if you need him?
Yeah, I mean, he'll go as a backup. That's what we got him here for. And, you know, hopefully it doesn't come to that where, you know, he doesn't have to play. But if he does, we'll rally behind him and make plays.
Now, I saw you were on a boat this weekend, but I didn't see any fishing poles. So were you just there to watch fireworks or what's going on?
Just a little relaxation. There were fishing poles around. I just weren't using them very much.
Well, we'll have a lot more fun with that. And, Mike, we'll wrap it up and chat with you again on Monday, if that's okay. Hopefully we can have a ticker tape parade.
Not a problem.
All right, Coach. Always a great chat with you. And, again, best of luck, man. Go get it done.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, good luck, Mike.
That's Mike Davis, head coach of the Nebraska Danger, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Great guy. Great coach. Got to know him a lot. But it just, again, you're pulling for these guys to go up there because I think I didn't want to ask him today. We'll talk about it Monday because I thought last year was kind of going to be the end of the road. And I think Coach Davis wasn't sure. I mean, and I'm talking about the players coming back.
Right, right.
I mean, let's face it, some of these guys are getting their cracks, Canadian Football League and things like that. But there's not a lot left for some of them. And, I mean, because they're not making thousands of dollars, and they could be doing other things.
Mm-hmm. And as you get older, the body creaks a little bit more. Yeah,
all the things that go into it. And at this time last year, when they were finished up, didn't know if Jameel was going to re-sign, didn't know if Pig was going to re-sign. And a couple of the guys that consequently have been dismissed from the team would re-sign. And they basically got them all back for the one purpose. But it's hard to do it year after year if it doesn't work out. I mean, if it does work out, I think the writing's on the wall. If it doesn't work out, they've said this a couple of times, it's hard to say, you know, eventually just going to go, can somebody implode that thing up in Sioux Falls? Because nobody can. They just keep winning and winning and winning.
Yeah, and it is amazing how they've been able to do it. And Coach kind of mentioned one of the factors. We talked about it maybe a little bit. Playing in front of 11,000 people in an arena like that, that's a lot of energy. That is a very strong home field advantage. And that certainly is yeah. And again, you know, the Heartland Event Center gets loud too, don't get me wrong. But 11,000, I mean, that's a lot of bodies out there.
Yeah,
that's a lot of noise.
Danger fans. You're over 5,000 every single game, so you double that. But
you double the noise.
My mind, how many college football teams don't play? And there's some in Division One.
I'm thinking of that. Yeah,
there's a lot in Division One.
Whole conference, like Ball State's conference. You know, I mean,
Idaho held like 16,000.
I think it holds about 16,000. I mean, even Wyoming holds 30.
Yeah.
I was going to say 24. So again, you get the idea that
they brought
in front of 10,000
game and made it up to 33,
and required that if you wanted to buy a ticket, you had to buy the season ticket to get it to actually get into the game. So Mama didn't raise no dummies there in Laramie.
Basically cheaper than a single game ticket in Lincoln. It's the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll talk Husker football and a little hoop. Steve Sippel, Lincoln Journal Star, coming up after the break. We are here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Midway Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Plus the Midway Auto Outlet, open for business, providing everything from a lower-end daily driver with great gas mileage to a late model, low mileage vehicle. Midway now has three dealerships in a four block radius, allows them to cover over 25 makes and 600 vehicles in stock or in transit to their dealership. Can't find what you're looking for? We'll stop into any Midway location. They'll be happy to help you find the vehicle just right for you. And you can kind of fill out, they've got a little questionnaire there on their website at thinkmidway.com. You know, maybe you see exactly what you want, but you're a two-door guy, not a four-door guy, or you want something that's a little newer. There's so many, you don't want it to be black, you want it to be red, you don't want leather, or you do want, you know, there's so many little nuances. It's your vehicle, it should be like you want, and Midway, if it's not among the 600 on their lot, will find it for you. And don't forget, until tomorrow is 0% APR for 72 months on most 2015 Chevrolet vehicles, and that runs through July 9th, which is tomorrow. So stop by and see your Midway auto dealership, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, or thinkmidway.com. The Sip! When we come back.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
Now's the time to start training for the Nebraska Senior Games. Seniors ages 50 and up will have the chance to test their skills in a variety of different sports and activities, including track and field, golf, basketball, bowling, swimming, tennis, and many more. This year's games will be held August 6th through the 9th in Kearney. For registration and more information, go to NebraskaSeniorGames.com. Registrations are due July 17th. The 2015 Nebraska Senior Games, where competition never gets old. Get in the games at NebraskaSeniorGames.com.
Car insurance isn't about the car. It's about the precious cargo the car carries. It's about providing security and confidence that if an accident occurs, you'll be protected. I'm Dave Challey of Barney Insurance. As a local independent agent, we can design an insurance program that's just right for you and your family, providing safe, sound, secure insurance protection from Auto Owners Insurance. Stop by or give us a call.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
Prairie Hills Golf Course, located just 10 short miles north of Kearney on Highway 10, is under new management. Prairie Hills Golf Course is a beautiful course nestled on 132 acres of rolling hills that makes for a fun and challenging golf experience. And they have the lowest 18-hole rates in the area. Call to reserve your tee time now or call to ask about their upcoming leagues. Just call Justin at 308-388-5115 at Prairie Hills Golf Course. That's 308-388-5115.
Raxham Clay's August 15th at the Heartland Shooting Park. Hornaday Manufacturing is the presenting sponsor for the 23rd Annual Platte River Charity Shoot, benefiting Goodwill and the services they provide to people living with disabilities or barriers to working and living independently. There's something for everyone with youth, adult, individual, and team competitions. Scholarships awarded to winners of the youth division. Platte River Charity Shoot is sponsored by Rasmussen & Associates, Five Points Bank, and Hornaday Manufacturing. Sign up today at goodwillne.org.
It's always good to be a kid at the K on Family Fun Day Sunday. But we've got something special in store July 12th. When the gates open at 11:30, the first 5,000 kids get a Slugger magnet set presented by Skippy. Enjoy activities and autographs during Kids Fest presented by Subway before the 1:10 start. After the game, take the Skippy Fun Run around the bases. Get your tickets today at Royals.com or Hy-Vee.
Make your family forever royal.
Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Going to talk a little Big Red here, brought to you by T&L Irrigation. T&L's superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of their hydraulic design are just a few of the reasons you should have a T&L hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation system in your field and the new T&L GPS navigation corner system to make sure every piece of corn or wheat or, you know, beans are taken care of in your field. We've even got potato farms around here.
They're potato farmers.
Do the same thing.
They do.
So it doesn't matter what you're growing. T&L can take care of it for you.
Sometimes you drive by some of those fields and go, that ain't corn. What the heck is that?
See your local T&L dealer today, like Bill Shapley, Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney. Well, we didn't want to bring him right back after vacation because you know how it is.
You got to ease into it.
Yeah, you got to ease into it, and you got a lot of stuff to catch up on. But I vividly remember this. Man, has it been a couple years ago? Sips on vacation. He's more than willing to come on the Doug and Daddy Show. He's eating some cherry pie, and he says, I don't have it on my plate because my wife's not here. Sip, did you have any moments, my wife's not around, I can do what I want moments last month?
Well, now I got to clarify something here right off the bat. I'm back on vacation.
Well,
when you get to be my age and you've worked somewhere a quarter of a century, you get a lot of vacation. So I get 5 weeks. And I'm on again, but that's all right. I just got done doing a morning show in Omaha, so I've been paying attention to stuff. It's not like I drop off the face of the earth. I know it seems like it sometimes, but I know what's going on.
Well, Steve Sippel with us from the Lincoln Journal Star, and you're, I mean, let's face it, we're all kind of in the same boat. We're trying to appease our football audience to get them to the actual start of the season. You guys are kind of running some top 25 Huskers and guys to look at, and we've got the preseason award watch list and all of that, but we're still a month away from seeing, and maybe 6 weeks away from seeing what we are hoping to see from a football team, no matter who you cover. But we're getting ready for Big Ten Media Days, and we look at what's going on with the Huskers and some of the preseason award watch lists, and it's nice to see Tommy Armstrong and Malik Collins on that list. And I chuckled when I saw Armstrong on the Maxwell Award watch list, and then later in the day, I didn't chuckle as much because I went, you know what? Here is a guy that's had a year and a half of starting experience at a major college under his belt, and although he's not the best quarterback, let alone in the country, in our league, he may be ready to take that next step. But how much is the Mike Riley system going to affect him?
Well, if I could answer that, I'd be making a lot more money than I am. I think it's bound to have an impact, but it could have a very good impact. It's just so hard to tell. I mean, I just go back to what Riley said, and I think it was May. You know, a lot of what is going on with the offensive coaches this year is how to make Tommy feel most comfortable. What are the throws that he feels most comfortable making? How can they make his job not easy, but, you know, they got to put him in the best positions to succeed. That's what they're trying to figure out. And it sounds much easier than it is. And it's not just because that goes for any quarterback. But, you know, Tommy, he's got to get better as a passer. He knows there's been limitations. He completed this 53% last year, and that's not good enough. That's not good enough to win championships. It's not a terrible number. He wasn't a terrible passer, but if you're going to win a championship, he's probably got to be up in the 60% range. And I think that most people would agree with that. And, I think Tommy can be pretty good. You know my stance on him. I think he has a lot of natural ability. And one more, the other thing I'd add, when I say natural ability, something else that Riley said interested me in May, that, you know, we always, I think as media, we try to make things harder than they are a lot. And when he talks about Tommy's throwing talent, he just means picking up a ball off the grass and throwing it. He says Tommy looks good doing that. He can be a good passer because of that. I mean, then you can get into footwork and making the right reads. But I've always felt that about Tommy. He looks good throwing the football. You just got to make good decisions and, refine his technique.
Honestly, here in Nebraska, probably haven't paid a lot of attention to Mike Riley until he becomes the head coach at Nebraska. But one of the few names, Sip, that I can remember of players that he had at Oregon State, obviously, is Jaquizz Rodgers. And you think about how they used him and in all sorts of different formations, do sorts of different things with him. I look at our roster, and DeMornay Personnel actually seems like a better athlete and maybe even better suited to do that sort of thing. Do you think that that's going to happen, that they'll kind of use him like they used to use Jaquizz Rodgers?
I think that's a good point. I think that, to a certain degree. I don't know if you could use DeMornay Personnel as much as a running back as they did with Jaquizz Rodgers, but you could use DeMornay, the numbers would be a little bit more as a receiver. But, I'm not Bill Walsh here. I can't. I don't know how to devise an offense, but I know this. I just don't think – I think you'd be doing DeMornay Personnel kind of a disservice if you just said, we're going to split you out, we're going to make you a receiver. I think you got to use him like you're saying, Randy. In a variety of ways, move him around, maybe line him up at running back, put him in a wildcat, use him on the jet sweep, the fly sweep, whatever you want to call it, and just get him involved in a variety of ways, not just as a receiver. And Yeah, I never really thought of it in a Jaquizz Rodgers type of sense, but yeah, that makes sense now that you mention it, except I'd say just would lean a little bit more towards the passing side.
We're talking with Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I came across something as I was gazing through the Phil Steele information, and it said that Nebraska's strength of schedule this year was 67th, which about puts them just right in the middle, a little closer to the weaker side of the schedule. I was surprised when I saw that, considering BYU, Miami, even the so-called weaker game, South Alabama, a bowl team, and some of the teams in the schedule. So I thought, well, do I automatically add another win to what I think Nebraska's win total will be? Did you realize that, Sip? What do you think about the strength of schedule, or does that number mean anything year to year?
I think it means something. I think part of it is Miami. I think we Nebraskans maybe give Miami higher regard than many of the other experts or the rest of the country. I mean, Miami, they lost a lot from a 6-7 team. I don't think they're a lock to make a bowl, you know. I do think that's a game Nebraska can win. I mean, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say they should win it, but sure won't be surprised if they win it. So I think some of it's that, and even BYU. I mean, come on. I mean, they're not. Hasn't been a juggernaut for a long time. They're all right, but again, that's a game I think you should win. So. I don't know. 67th kind of seems about right to me.
It seemed like it took a long time for the dust to settle from the coaching transition, all that stuff. But you heard nothing but positive things about Coach Riley. We're I don't know, about 6 months into his tenure as the head coach at Nebraska. How do you feel kind of that 6 months is gone? Do you think he has the program where he wants it in terms of the recruiting and the direction that you're kind of going there? Just, you know, we've got 6 months to kind of look at the dust settle a little bit. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think they've done it's really early, Randy, to judge much of anything, but I think you have to like the way recruiting's gone, especially getting those two quarterbacks in the 2016 recruiting class that early, and that was what they wanted to do. They set out to do it. They did it. They have, what are they at now, 12 or 11 guys in the class. That's a pretty good number. I think they feel good about where they're at recruiting-wise. I think, you know, I don't know how much further you want to go. I do think they had a good spring in terms of, you know, getting what they wanted done. But here's the thing. This is a major undertaking, and I hope people are patient. I mean, I'm not setting the bar low this year or anything, but there's a lot to – I mean, here, I'll give you a couple of factors that are – shouldn't be overlooked. First of all, that opener is kind of tough, BYU. And then, now think about it. You're going into camp. Sometimes during August camp, when you don't have an opponent that strong, you can worry about yourself a little bit more, your own team. But you know what? They're going to have to do a lot of preparation for BYU that might get in the way of helping themselves a little bit. I'm talking about the Huskers. And that makes it tough. And then the second thing I'd say, that can make it more difficult. There's no doubt about it. And then the second thing I'd say is 11 straight games, you guys maybe have talked about this, but no bye week, you know, until late. Having 11 straight games, that's a lot for a new coaching staff in particular. I think it's a lot for a coaching staff, and it's, you know, 10th season, but when it's your first season, they won't have much time to step back and think about themselves, because it's always going to be, bam, next opponent, got to get ready, got to figure that opponent out, what we're going to do, bam, next opponent, got to figure out what we're going to do, without having much opportunity to self-scout or really take a step back and look at themselves. So what I'm talking about is urgency. And it'll start from the minute of the first practice. I mean, there's just no there's just no time to waste. Not that there ever is, but you do get a little bit more leeway when you have a bye, you know, maybe midway in the season or early in the season, or I think then there was a recent season when they had 2 weeks, two bye weeks. Those can be very beneficial to a first-year staff, obviously.
I think we had three last week, right? Or last year. One was in the non-conference and two in the conference. I mean, there was, during the course of the season, 3 weeks off. How is this just a quirk? Or because I thought we were in a spot here where every Big Ten season we were going to have two off weeks.
Well, I don't know what it is, but the only bye is after the Rutgers game in November.
Thanks.
So it doesn't set up well at all, in my opinion. Because then you worry a little bit about going to Rutgers becoming a trap game a little bit, because will guys be looking forward to that week off, not taking Rutgers maybe seriously? And then, I don't even regard it sometimes. I talk about playing 11 straight games, and people say, well, these kids are young, they'll hold up fine. Yeah, maybe. But I don't even think about it as much from a physical standpoint as much as a mental standpoint. That's pressure every week, and there's really no relief from the pressure, and that certainly can wear on you from, whether you're a coach or a player, especially key players. So those are things that you have that are, I know, are factors. I mean, there's no conjecture here. I've covered the team for 15 plus years. I know that it can become it can be wearing mentally as much physically. So, I don't know. That's something I would definitely watch, especially at positions where they don't have a lot of depth.
A couple questions left for Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star. Getting back to that what people think Nebraska is going to have. Of course, last week, Vegas is usually pretty close. They put that over-under at 8. The point spread on the BYU game was 6. It immediately went to 3.5. You know what I'm talking about. This has been talked about. We talked about it. Those are some unusual movements against Nebraska from the guys that think they're in the know. What do you think when you see that, when people are going against Nebraska kind of in a big way here, at least early?
Well, I don't know if they're getting word of BYU's situation with suspensions. I don't know how big of a factor it's going to be. The one thing I have heard is that it might be their starting center, and their second center is a small walk-on. Now, that would work against what you're saying. That speaks against where you're going with this. Although, on the other hand, I think the way BYU is going to do it is they're not going to kill their season in the opener. I think they'll have most of their guys available. I don't know. I mean, that's all conjecture. I don't know why. I don't know why that number dipped. I don't really, that's hard to say. The one thing I'd say, though, about the season and that the 8 number is this, and I've talked to a couple coaches about it, not current Nebraska coaches, but coaches who have said Nebraska's got to get off to a good start. Because what happens is, with a new coaching staff, is if they stumble a couple times early, guys will start questioning things quicker. They'll look around and say, hey, what's going on? They'll start questioning the move. And then it's not even so much, it doesn't impact the head coach maybe as much as even the position coaches. Everybody's got to stay on the same page no matter what. And that's, standing here in July, that sounds kind of easy. But if you're 1-2, that's not easy. That becomes a kind of a situation, or it can become a situation.
And finally, Sip, just your overall take here. I remember Bo coming in. He had to take care of some discipline right away in the transition. Coach Mike Riley hasn't really said a lot, but we've got some guys that are no longer with the team for a variety of issues. If you don't have the facts, you can't talk about it or print it or things like that. But we all hear things which might lead to some other guys having to miss Nebraska games the first couple of games of the season. So my question to you is, What about the guys that won't be with the program next year? And are you catching wind that there might be still more dominoes to fall?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of what has occurred so far has just been organic. I mean, there are ones, at least a couple, that wouldn't have been around even if Bo were here. And there might be one other offensive lineman, scholarship offensive lineman, I'd say. But I don't, at this point, it might be a case where he just didn't find a team, but I don't think it would have been a big factor. So I don't think nothing that's happened from a discipline standpoint has really surprised me, except for Irons. I didn't know that was coming, except there was kind of an incident with him. But I don't know. That one surprised me, but that was really the only one.
Sip, I want to change sports on you a little bit. You retweeted a story you did, I think, last September on your Twitter account about Alex Gordon. Just kind of your reaction to what you know about him and the success he's had. I mean, being named a starter to the American League All-Star team for the very first time. Just kind of talk a little bit about him. I mean, after all, being right there from your neighborhood there from Lincoln Southeast.
Well, the thing I retweeted is something I wrote back last season when they were in the World Series or right before it, was Randy Brohl. I was doing a story about Alex when he was a sophomore at Lincoln Southeast, and I just called Randy. I remember calling him, and I was just going to do a phone interview, and he said, no, you got to come out and see him. And I said, no, Randy, I can just talk to you about him. I don't want to bother you. I just said, I can talk to you on the phone. He goes, no, I want you to come out and see the way – you got to see him. I mean, you got to fully understand Alex. You got to lay eyes on him. And I remember, I'll never forget it, just going out and watching him hit in the net, you know, in the cage. It was a net. And the way the ball came off his bat, the way it sounded, just his body structure, his athleticism, he was different. I mean, and that's what I always think about when I see him. He was just different, and that's how guys are. You guys, closer to your area, I would say the same thing about Whitey Richardson. When you watched Whitey Richardson play shortstop for Grand Island Home Federal, you just saw a guy that was different than everybody. You know, the way he fielded the ball, the way he threw, how much zip he could get on the ball in such a fluid motion. It was those kind of things, but I would say that Alex was even a cut above Whitey, and his career has borne that out. I mean, Whitey was never an All-Star, never even close. You know, you guys know who I'm talking about, right?
Oh yeah. Been on the show.
Yeah. So, and I always thought Whitey, when I watched him, was just incredible. I was his age, and I played against him, and I always enjoyed it. But when I saw Alex, it was a whole nother story. Just the raw strength. You know, Alex was very physical as a sophomore. He was a great football player. Probably could have played Division I football. Chuck Mazursky told me that. You know, he probably could have played defensive back. In fact, Frank Solich told me that Alex probably could have been a safety or a corner. Was a very fluid runner, very physical player. But the big thing too about Alex was the way he carries himself. That was always Randy. Told me that as a sophomore that Alex is very quiet, but had a very, it was easy to see his confidence. He was quiet, wasn't boisterous, but you saw his confidence, and that's kind of the way he still is. He still doesn't say a whole lot about, you know, he doesn't like to talk about himself, but you can tell he's very confident. So he's unique. I've always been fascinated by Alex, watching him up through high school and then watching him, at Nebraska. Definitely one of my favorite athletes I've ever covered. I mean, just because of all the things I've said, he is so fun to watch at Nebraska.
Well, the Royals have at least four starting in the All-Star game, six going, and maybe seven with the Moose. And our All-Star is Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star. Sip, enjoy lunch, buddy, and we'll talk with you again before we head to Chicago, okay?
Okay. thanks for calling. It's nice to talk to you guys again.
Take
good
care, buddy.
You, Steve.
Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you who was the biggest snub in the All-Star game, and 40%, it was Ty there. Joey Votto of the Reds and Clayton Kershaw of the Dodgers. Even the public, not as big a fan of Alex Rodriguez. Vote on our Midtown Mart cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Who are the biggest winners of NBA free agency so far? Cleveland Cavaliers, Dallas Mavericks, LA Clippers, or San Antonio Spurs? It seems like a lot of people are saying the Clippers got hurt more, but they do get Paul Pierce. They're kind of going to be that Boston Celtic look. Some older guys, and then maybe San Antonio is also going to be older, but I'll go along with what the pros are saying. I'll say the Spurs.
I think I go with the Spurs as well. Again, what they lose. See, everybody else kind of has lost somebody, or potentially you have that. I don't think Christmas is going to help the Cavs that much. You know, so I don't know. I think probably San Antonio, because they're not too far away from being where they need to be.
You can always vote on our Midtown Mark cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll wrap it up after this.
You've taught your son everything, from fishing to hunting, baseball to football. You're the man. He looks up to you to teach him all the great things in life.
But have you taught him that real men don't abuse women?
This is one of the most important talks a man can ever have with his son.
Teach, talk, listen, lead.
To learn more about how to start this conversation, log on to sassacenter.org for resources. This message supported by funds awarded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Every baseball fan has respect for Major League Baseball's past, present, and future. And it comes alive at the Museum of Nebraska Major League Baseball in downtown St. Paul. Dedicated to illustrating the careers of over 150 men with Nebraska ties who have made it to the majors. Enjoy Hall of Fame exhibits featuring Alexander, Gibson, Boggs, Vance, Ashburn, Crawford, and Southworth. The Museum of Nebraska Major League Baseball, a place you've got to see in downtown St. Paul. Open daily 9:30 to 4:30 and Saturday 10 to 2.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport, done right.
Farming is a way of life here, and today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. CHS has been a partner to those farmers, the community, the area charities, including the Harvest for Hunger, right here. So when we say there's a CHS Agri-Service Center near you and ready to help you build your future, we mean it. CHS Agri-Service Center, people and resources you can count on always, and always here at chsagri.com.
Doug and Daddy Show, wrapping up a Wednesday edition. And if you're getting ready for lunch, don't forget that the Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill is there for you. Many people say they're a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both, like the Kearney Chicken Coop, where you can go in and have a great lunch, great appetizers that are, of course, reduced price during weekday afternoons from 2 to 5:30. So stop in and enjoy some of your appetizers. If you just want a snack while you're enjoying your favorite beverage, whether it's got a little froth on the top or whether it's just something you can see through, an ice water, doesn't matter. You're just there having a great old time at the Chicken Coop. Maybe just a quesadilla or some chicken wings to get you through the afternoon, or bring the party in anytime. You can get their convenient party room with games, pool tables, or if you're just there for a business meeting, you can do that as well. And think about
wink,
the
wink,
games
nudge,
and
nudge,
the pool
yeah,
table.
Yeah.
Check it out at the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill. Downtown Kearney. American Legion Baseball, they've changed the way they do the Cornhusker League Senior All-Star Game. They have more in the East teams now than they do in the West, so when you pick the All-Star teams, you kind of got to even it out. So it's now National and American, and the National, which had the Kearney and Hastings kids on it, won 6-0 last night. Tough one for Hastings Johnson Imperial Juniors going into the seventh and final inning. They're up 2-0 in the league championship game, but kind of fell apart. Lincoln Southeast, 5-2, scoring all five runs there in the seventh. The makeup of the senior game, Grand Island Home Federal at Lincoln Southeast, J.C. Bragger tonight at Sherman Field at 6 o'clock. Also going on, Kearney Runza hosting Lincoln High in baseball action this evening. And for Hastings, 5 points, we'll be taking on Gretna.
It's wrapping up. I mean, there is not a whole lot of regular season baseball left. Districts rolling around, you know, and July, that's when the big baseball games are, you know, for all these teams. And you've kind of seen that. And I think the Tri-Cities is well positioned to have some teams be able to make some noise at districts and state.
So we'll see. And area tournaments actually begin for B and C juniors this weekend.
Yeah.
It's here already.
Yeah,
we'll talk a little baseball tomorrow, and the finals is underway of the Nebraska women's match play at the Oakland Golf Club, and Danielle Lemick, who I don't want to say struggled, but was pushed yesterday. Donovan's Danielle Lemick, the defending champion, had to go 22 holes just to win the semifinal, and Amy Ehlers of Albion, who won both of her matches yesterday, 6-4, reversal today, Lemick 5-up after the front nine.
Woo.
Looking for another championship on the women's circuit.
I'd say she was working through what, if she had any issues yesterday, I think she's worked her way through it.
That is one big-ass trophy room.
Yeah, it is.
At the Lemmings.
It is. And they might have to add on to it.
That's going to wrap things up for the Doug and Daddy Show tomorrow. Mitch Sherman, national ESPN writer, ESPN.com, with an overview of the Big Ten. We'll talk with Kearney 5 Points junior coach Brian Graham as they wrapped up their season last night, one of the best that the B juniors have had, and we will have that tomorrow. Also, big thank you to Nebraska Danger Mike, Coach Mike Davis, and Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, for joining us on today's program. I'm going to leave it in your hands for a couple days. Can you handle it?
I think I can do that. Enjoy your baseball trip.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow, Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Yeah.